Chapter 5. They don't leave the guest quarters for the next few days. After examining both of them, Wangsha's doctor prescribes rest, and Deng Er won't let them out of her sight anyway. She's made her own progress on learning the recipes from Wangsha's book, though still insists Sui Zhou bake her mung bean and osmanthus cakes as soon as the faint lines of pain start to fade from his features. They spend their days together, but spend nights in their own rooms. Back in the setting of civilization, surrounded by others and the trappings of daily life, it feels to Tang Fan as though that heated night on the prairie was worlds away. He's half convinced himself that perhaps it never even happened. The way Sui Zhou looks at him doesn't seem to have changed. But if Tang Fan tries to examine that too closely, he quickly shifts his thoughts to the matter of Ashurthamore's imprisoned bride. Wuyin's response mirrors the same outrage Tang Fan felt.
If Aha were alive, she would never allow this.
He scowls. Tang Fan has to agree. Hopefully Gao Jiangjun and Wangsha together can address it, he says. Have you heard much about it in your travels? Wuyin has been spending his time revisiting old friends and family, using He Tao as a base. According to him, Jin San is still at the inn, picking up the odd courier job to the settlements. He shakes his head.
The people understand there is an engagement, but imprisonment? He must be keeping it very close.
But what about her family? Surely they would have stepped in by now. Wuyin frowns, troubled.
I'll see what else I can find out, Tang Daren.
He meets Tang Fan's eyes, his brow heavy.
Are you sure this isn't something cooked up by the Khan and Gao Jiangjun?
Gao Jiangjun would not misrepresent himself to the Ming, Tang Fan says with certainty.
So perhaps he doesn't know it's a falsehood.
Tang Fan shakes his head, unsettled. Wangsha will find out, he says, trying to convince himself. Wangsha, it turns out, has no intention of finding out. Gao Jiangjun, it is not that I'm not sympathetic to the plight of this unwilling bride, he says, across the dining table. But the He Tao Prefecture is just as committed as the Khan in striving for unity between Oirat and Ming. To attempt to insert the Ming government in personal affairs of one of the Oirat ruling families. Wangsha gives a regretful shrug.
I understand, Wang Daren.
Gao Jiangjun replies somberly. Tang Fan looks across the table to Sui Zhou. While his expression is blank, Tang Fan can see the tightness in his jaw. He briefly meets Tang Fan's gaze, then looks away. The hypocrisy! Tang Fan explodes when they get back to their guest quarters. For the amount of meddling they do in the personal lives and marriages of their own citizens, to refuse to help when they're supposedly so eager to assimilate the Oirat people?
Ren Qing, keep your voice down.
Deng Er's door is closed. She begged off the shared meal to eat in her room and read more from Wangsha's collection of romance novels. The Gao family left late. She must be asleep by now. You can't tell me it's none of our business, Sui Zhou, Tang Fan hisses. Someone has to do something.
I never said that.
Sui Zhou gives him a sideways look, mouth hard. He sits down wearily at the receiving table and rubs his hand across his face. Tang Fan sits down next to him, the small tea table separating them. Then what do you propose we do? Sui Zhou stares into the middle distance for a time.
Wuyin, he says at length. Tangfan nods. I told him about it already. He hasn't heard anything about Ashutamor's bride being kept against her will. Just that it's a long engagement. He's going to try to gather more intelligence, but he thought... He was worried that it was a ruse. That Borana Hala was trying to incite the Ming to insert themselves into Ashutamor's affairs. Suizo shakes his head.
That doesn't make any sense. It's what Ashutamor is hoping for the Ming to act against him.
Tangfan huffs out a breath. I don't think Gao Jiangjun would take part in such a scheme either.
Then we wait for Wuyin to return with more information.
Suizo says,
we can't act with as little as we know. We don't even know where Ashutamor's strongholds are.
Tangfan sighs, slumping back in his seat. I don't like waiting.
I know.
Suizo smiles at him ruefully. They spend long moments in heavy silence before Tangfan speaks again. Do you think Qinga is having any luck?
I think she can't help but succeed in whatever endeavor she undertakes.
Suizo replies cryptically. Tangfan gives him a questioning look. Even an endeavor to overthrow the Emperor? He says, testing. Suizo shrugs.
That was Li Zilong's plan. She endeavored to save the Emperor's life.
Tangfan sighs, weary. He misses home. He misses his sister and Pei Huai and Dongu's noodles. He misses his favorite pillow. And he thinks he might even miss going through paperwork in the Shunqian prefecture while his Shuqiang watches anxiously from the other desk.
You look tired.
Tangfan looks up from his contemplation of the floor at Suizhou's comment. Suizhou's eyes are gentle as they watch him, and Tangfan feels an answering tenderness in his chest, softening the ache of frustration. He tries not to think. Just lets his body follow its instinct. He lifts his hand and places it over Suizhou's, where it rests on the small table. Suizhou stares at it, and Tangfan sees him go very still, the way he does when he's keeping hidden from a potential assailant. After a moment, Tangfan can't bear it anymore, but the instant his hand twitches to withdraw, Suizhou turns his own and grasps him firmly, making Tangfan's heart lurch in his chest. I haven't been sleeping very well, Tangfan says. Alone. He's trying for casual, but his voice feels like it's crumbling in his throat. He feels an instant away from bolting out of his seat and running. Suizhou strokes his thumb over the back of Tangfan's knuckles, like he did when Tangfan lied about having cold fingers in the dark on the prairie. He finally dares to look up to meet Suizhou's eyes, only to find his expression fraught.
Tangfan, Suizhou says roughly. Last time. What happened after?
A short burst of breathless laughter escapes Tangfan's mouth. Is that why Ashutamor took us prisoner? He says, incredulous at Suizhou's line of reasoning. Why he nearly killed you? He chokes on the words. Suizhou pauses for a moment while Tangfan regains control.
You were hurt,
he says simply, his expression pained. Tangfan shakes his head, exasperated. You stupid man, he says, voice weak. I thought you were dead. Suizhou's expression is one of guilt, which is the last thing Tangfan wants. He just wants Suizhou to understand. Suizhou is not making sense anyway. Are they even having the same conversation? Suizhou may be above average intelligence, but it seems there are some things that will remain beyond his reach. Tangfan stands abruptly, letting go of Suizhou's hand. Suizhou rises as well, and then he's facing Tangfan as if to block his way, closer than propriety allows for. Tangfan's mind shies around the memory of Suizhou even closer to him, in the tent on the prairie. His heart is skipping in his chest, nerves turning his hands clammy. He abruptly remembers telling Pei Huai,
I am an expert in matters of love. And he flushes at the memory, the heat prickling over his face in mortification at just how naive he'd been. Perhaps it is not Sui Jo who doesn't understand. He shouldn't have let go of Sui Jo's hand just now.
Run Qing,
Sui Jo says softly, his eyes gentle on Tang Fan's.
Will you come to bed with me?
Tang Fan's breath catches. Sui Jo's words aren't blunt, but they are brave, showing Tang Fan up for the coward he is. He had manipulated Sui Jo into kissing him without even really knowing why, and now Sui Jo stands before him and simply asks. Tang Fan would fling himself off the walls of He Tao's fort before he would turn him down. Sui Jo's fingers brush Tang Fan's hot cheek, perhaps curious at the silence behind Tang Fan's staring. Tang Fan drops his forehead to Sui Jo's shoulder and groans. You will say it? Just like that?
Yes.
I am a scholar, Guang Chuan. I require poetry. He lifts his head again to find Sui Jo's brow furrowed, as if he's racking his brains for verse. Tang Fan laughs in delight, and when Sui Jo's expression shifts again to the faintest confusion, Tang Fan leans forward to kiss him. He feels Sui Jo's surprised intake of breath, then Sui Jo's lips smiling against his. It makes his toes curl in his boots. Sui Jo's hand is cupping his cheek.
Is that a yes?
He confirms. Tang Fan groans. Yes, Guang Chuan. Sui Jo cuts off his retort with another kiss. This time more insistent. Firm. His arm slips around Tang Fan's waist, pulling him closer. And Tang Fan almost swoons into it as Sui Jo tilts his head to kiss him on an angle that fits their mouths together perfectly. We should... Tang Fan whispers as they draw apart to breathe, blinking to try and focus, glancing at Dong Ar's door anxiously. Not here.
Sui Jo raises his eyebrow slightly. I was not speaking metaphorically.
Tang Fan makes a face at him and gives him a gentle shove. Sui Jo allows himself to be pushed in the direction of his room, Tang Fan stumbling over his own feet behind him. His belly is shivery with nerves, even as his heart feels too big for his chest. Sui Jo seizes him by the waist when the door closes behind them, reeling Tang Fan in to take up kissing him again. Tang Fan isn't sure what to do with his hands. His ability to leave all physical decisions to the instincts of his body was thrown by the wayside as soon as his brain noted the proximity of a bed and started to helpfully examine the probabilities of what might happen next. His thoughts chatter insistently, and he hesitantly rests his hands on the backs of Sui Jo's shoulders while cataloging every brush of his tongue, every purse of his lips. Their teeth clash when Tang Fan pushes forward, and he cringes away. Sui Jo lifts his head to look at him.
What's the matter?
He asks in a low rumble, and Tang Fan is both grateful and resentful to still have Sui Jo's arms tight around him when his strongest urge is to crawl away and hide. Guang Chuan, I know this may be hard to believe, given my oeuvre, but I've never done this before. I mean, I've read a lot of books and a lot of illustrated books, but when it comes to practical experience, stop laughing. He whacks his hand on Sui Jo's chest. I am bearing my heart to you.
I'm sorry, Sui Jo says, biting his lip to smother a smile.
He strokes Tang Fan's hair over his shoulder before leaning in and pressing a kiss to his hot cheek. He is awful, horrible, the cruelest person. He looks into Tang Fan's eyes with immense fondness.
Do you trust me?
Tang Fan makes himself pause, to focus, to try and calm the chaos of his mind. It had been so good before, when he had been overwhelmed by the warmth and pleasure of it. He takes a steadying breath and nods. Sui Jo is still staring at him when he looks up again, calm and steady, as persistent and unfailing as a mountain. He smiles at Tang Fan softly.
Take off your boots.
Tang Fan heels them off hurriedly, then watches as Sui Zhou moves about the room, putting out all but two of the lanterns, making the light in the room soft and warm. He pulls his own boots off while standing next to the bed and looks back at Tang Fan questioningly. Tang Fan crosses to him, and Sui Zhou sits as he arrives, reaching for Tang Fan's hands and placing them on his own shoulders, then guiding Tang Fan's face down to his own. It feels awkward at first, until Tang Fan realizes he can control the depth and speed of the kiss, can choose to withdraw at any time, and he does, teasing with it, finding he's enjoying dipping in to lip at Sui Zhou's mouth, only to pull just slightly away when Sui Zhou tries to return the gesture. When Sui Zhou's tongue swipes against his lip the next time he descends, he finds himself pushing closer instead, seeking out the depths of Sui Zhou's mouth hungrily. At some point, he realizes Sui Zhou's hands are resting on his hips. When he straightens a little to catch his breath, his legs wobble, his knees objecting to their locked position. Seeing the movement, Sui Zhou reaches up to grasp Tang Fan's hand again, and uses it to pull him down towards the bed. Sui Zhou shuffles up so he's lying with his head resting on the pillow, and Tang Fan follows the movement as Sui Zhou tugs him until Tang Fan is lying half on top of him. "Have you done this before?" Tang Fan asks breathily, bracing himself above Sui Zhou with a hand on the pillow, already knowing the answer, but not knowing how to ask what he'd really like to know. Sui Zhou is not the type that Tang Fan would characterize as dissolute, but he is very at ease with their intimacy.
"I've done enough,"
Sui Zhou says, mouth quirking as he looks at Tang Fan. They start kissing again, and this time, with Sui Zhou's body pressed up against his, Tang Fan feels the warm glow of his enjoyment start to kindle into arousal. Sui Zhou's hands rest on his hips, slide up to grasp his waist. They follow the line of Tang Fan's flank to cup Tang Fan's upper arm as Tang Fan rests his forearm on the pillow. Every touch sends a flurry of sensation through him, flowing low into his belly and pooling heatedly.
"Runqing,"
Sui Zhou gasps. When Tang Fan looks at him in the dim lantern light, he's flushed, lips red. Tang Fan wonders what his own mouth looks like. It stings faintly from the rub of Sui Zhou's beard.
"Runqing,"
Sui Zhou says again.
"Touch me."
Tang Fan's breath picks up in excitement. He won't make Sui Zhou guide his hands for him again. Sui Zhou wants. Tang Fan can hear it in his voice, feel it in the way Sui Zhou kisses him. He learnt the 100 family surnames in 3 days. He can be just as quick a study at this. He lays his hand on Sui Zhou's bare throat, feeling the movement as Sui Zhou swallows. He strokes down Sui Zhou's chest, Sui Zhou's heart thumping under his hand.
"Take it off,"
Sui Zhou rasps, and Tang Fan sits up, no urge for contrariness now. Both hands going to the ties of Sui Zhou's robes. He shoves at the heavy fabric, parting layers of blue-embroidered blue until he reaches the crisp white of Sui Zhou's undershirt. It's heated by being so close to Sui Zhou's skin, and Sui Zhou exhales shakily when Tang Fan, moving more slowly now, parts the fabric to reveal his bare chest. It's not the first time Tang Fan has seen this part of him, but it's the first time he's looked with intention, and that Sui Zhou has been looking back. His skin is a little darker than Tang Fan's, smooth and soft as velvet under Tang Fan's hand. He's all curving shapes where Tang Fan is thin and featureless as blank paper. Tang Fan traces the scars inscribed on his body, wondering what it must feel like. Sui Zhou gasps when Tang Fan drags his fingers over one of his small, dark nipples. His eyes dart to Sui Zhou's face. Sui Zhou is watching him from underneath his eyelashes. Tang Fan watches back, palms firmly over the swell of his muscled pectoral, to see him arch his head back restlessly, breathing out hard, filing it away as useful intelligence. Tang Fan thinks of what he likes himself, and captures one of Sui Zhou's nipples between his knuckles, rolling gently. Sui Zhou groans. Delighted, Tang Fan lowers himself again to slot his lips into Sui Zhou's again. Sui Zhou pants as Tang Fan's fingers work, the kiss syncopated by it, until he brings his hand up to grip Tang Fan's hand hard, ceasing its movement.
Enough,
he rumbles. Then Tang Fan feels the muscles flexing under his hand as Sui Zhou flips them, Tang Fan inhaling sharply as he lands with his back on the bed, Sui Zhou braced over him. Sui Zhou shrugs the loose clothing off his shoulders and lets them slip to the floor. He watches Tang Fan's face as he reaches for Tang Fan's belt, but he must see the frank desire in the way Tang Fan stares at him, because he undresses Tang Fan swiftly without bothering to ask. Sui Zhou is straddling his hips, their trousers the only remaining barrier between them, and when Sui Zhou drags his gaze down over Tang Fan's bare chest and arms, Tang Fan shivers under the scrutiny.
Are you cold?
Sui Zhou's tone is thick with arousal, but the pinch of his brow is all concern. He takes Tang Fan's hands and holds them flat against the top of his thighs to warm them. Tang Fan could die from how lovely he is. He shakes his head. Touch me? He asks, repeating Sui Zhou's words back at him. And Sui Zhou folds over to press his mouth to Tang Fan's neck, his hands smoothing up Tang Fan's sides. Tang Fan knows his body is too lean and gangly, undercooked noodles next to Sui Zhou's spring feast. But Sui Zhou touches him with reverence and desire. He watches Tang Fan's face, eyebrows lifted, as he brushes experimentally over Tang Fan's nipples. Smiles when Tang Fan inhales sharply, heat rising up in his throat, creeping into his cheeks. For all that Tang Fan has explored his own body, it was nothing like this. Even Sui Zhou's hands stroking down his arms, of all places, as Tang Fan hooks them around his neck to hold him close for a kiss, makes him squirm restlessly. He bends up his knee, lets it fall open, arches up his back to get more contact of his bare chest against Sui Zhou's. Sui Zhou takes the hint, easing to lie down carefully on top of him, one of his thighs pressing between Tang Fan's legs. It's firm against Tang Fan's half-hard cock, and he gasps when Sui Zhou flexes deliberately against him, feeling himself stiffening further. Sui Zhou is smiling again, face close to Tang Fan's. Tang Fan doesn't think he's ever seen Sui Zhou smile so much. He pushes Sui Zhou's head down to press his face against Tang Fan's chest, unable to look at him anymore. He can only handle so much of the squirming self-consciousness, though it's becoming increasingly difficult to discern it from the fluttering excitement. Sui Zhou takes advantage of the position, dragging his prickly face over Tang Fan's collarbone, mouthing shapeless kisses against his skin. Tang Fan runs his hands over Sui Zhou's back, marveling at the heat radiating from him, even as his touch stutters over the tapestry of scars. His hands slide bravely lower, when he dips below the perfect curve of Sui Zhou's lower back to reach the swell of his backside, Sui Zhou jerks his hips forward. The sudden press of his hard cock against Tang Fan's hip is shocking, dizzying. Tang Fan wants to feel it again. He buries his hand in Sui Zhou's hair, pulling him up urgently, kissing him desperately as he pushes his own hips up. Sui Zhou provides the firm resistance he's seeking. Even better, he rolls his hips down again, Tang Fan grasping the thick muscle of Sui Zhou's backside beneath the thin fabric of his trousers. Tang Fan groans into his mouth. Sui Zhou isn't smiling anymore, too immersed in the kiss to break away. Tang Fan's mind is flooded with waves of sensation, the pleasure and urgency stealing the words of his thoughts, leaving only feeling. They roll their bodies against each other, sweat making their skin cling, hands gripping and stroking. There is heat and pressure building through Tang Fan, taking control of his limbs, of every part of his body. He moves without conscious intention, without thought, a rhythm perfectly in sync with Sui Zhou's. Sui Zhou's hand drags down his chest, and he eases his leg away from Tang Fan slowly. He's still pressed impossibly close against Tang Fan's side, his cock hot as a brand against Tang Fan's hip. He lays his hand against the length of Tang Fan's cock, over the fabric of his trousers, stroking slowly as Tang Fan throws his head back and moans.
"Can I take these off?"
Sui Zhou murmurs. Tang Fan nods frantically. "Yours too," he blurts. Sui Zhou makes quick work of stripping them off, Tang Fan's eyes glued to the perfectly sculpted angles of his body as he tosses their clothes aside, then settles back at Tang Fan's side. Tang Fan can't help but look down, and then can't look away as Sui Zhou wraps his hand around his own cock and gives it a long, luxurious stroke. He's as perfectly made there as he is everywhere else, and Tang Fan exhales shakily.
"Can I touch you?"
Sui Zhou asks, letting go of himself to stroke Tang Fan's hip. Tang Fan nods, and Sui Zhou leans in to kiss him gently as he runs his fingers experimentally up Tang Fan's cock before taking him in hand. Tang Fan can't quite believe this is happening. Sui Zhou's hands, so skilled with a chef's knife and chopsticks, so capable of holding a sword, touching Tang Fan so intimately. Tang Fan will never be able to look at Sui Zhou's hands again without thinking of this moment. Still, he wants more. The sight of Sui Zhou's cock made something not unlike hunger surge in him. But it's not emptiness. It's a fire, filling him, driving to consume. He shifts his body to face Sui Zhou, throwing a leg over his thighs, and reaches down to take Sui Zhou's cock in his hand. Sui Zhou rests his forehead against Tang Fan's as they look down, their bodies gleaming faintly with sweat in the low lantern light. Sui Zhou's cock is dark against Tang Fan's pale fingers. Tang Fan strokes it reverently, grips gently to roll back the foreskin, exposing the gleaming head. His mouth waters. He wonders if he can convince Sui Zhou to never get dressed again. Sui Zhou groans and cuts off Tang Fan's view by kissing him fiercely, sloppily. He starts to stroke Tang Fan in a steady rhythm and shudders, hips jerking forward when Tang Fan matches it. How has Tang Fan gone his entire life without this? He might as well have never eaten before, have subsisted off plain rice and water alone for the last 24 years, to have not only his own body touched so pleasurably, but to touch another's, to touch Sui Zhou's, to feel such a surge of pride and affection as Sui Zhou breathes such vulnerable sounds into his mouth, as his body curls and pushes against Tang Fan's. "Guang Chuan," he finds himself gasping, body arching helplessly. "Guang Chuan, oh!"
"All right?"
Sui Zhou asks in a puff against his lips. "Yes," Tang Fan answers fervently. And then, outrageously, Sui Zhou's hand slows, stops, just holds him gently. Tang Fan opens his eyes to glare. Sui Zhou is examining his face, eyes dark and hair wild. And after a moment, he gently grasps Tang Fan's wrist to move his hand away.
"Wait here,"
he instructs, and then climbs over Tang Fan to get off the bed. "Guang Chuan!" Tang Fan hisses, bereft and confused. A moment later, Sui Zhou is back, clambering onto the bed, straddling Tang Fan's thighs. He's holding the pot of ointment from Pei Huai's medical chest. Tang Fan's brain catches up and a dizzying heat flushes over his body. In the illustrations he'd studied, the men were always smiling, sitting on one another's lap or taken from behind. On reflection, Tang Fan thinks their expressions were far too calm. He wonders if he should turn over, if Sui Zhou wants... He reaches for Suejo's thighs, and he grips them hard, hiding the shaking of his hands. Suejo takes in his wide eyes and sets the pot down on the bed next to them. He leans forward on his hands and knees to kiss Tong Fan again, reassuring.
Trust me,
he murmurs when he draws back, his swollen lips curving in a slight smile.
You'll enjoy this.
He settles back on his heels and unscrews the pot lid, scooping a dollop of the ointment onto two of his fingers. Then he's kneeling up and reaching behind himself and oh! Tong Fan's fingers dig into the thick muscle of his thighs. Guang Chuan, he whispers, shocked. You can't! Sui Zhou raises an eyebrow at him, his shoulder and arm flexing as he works his hand behind him. He leans forward a little to brace his other hand on the bed next to Tong Fan's hip, breathing hard as he looks at Tong Fan, challenging.
Can't what?
In all the books Tong Fan had read, being penetrated with something sacrificed, a willing degradation, Sui Zhou of all people should not. Sui Zhou's eyelids drop low with pleasure. He arches his back, body taut and perfect, his cock curving up against his belly. Tong Fan can't breathe, his own cock so hard he wonders if he might come just from watching. Suejo stops touching himself to reach for the pot of ointment again, scooping out a generous amount. He rubs it between his hands, covering them, then reaches for Tong Fan's cock. Suejo's touch is slick, his grip tight, and Tong Fan's head presses back into the pillow, a wordless sound torn from his throat. He shudders violently, thrusts his hips up, his cock sliding in Suejo's fist. He struggles to regain control of his breathing and flails his hands to grasp bedding, trying to ground himself. Suejo eases his touch, and Tong Fan struggles to get his elbows under himself, hauling himself up the bed just a little. Suejo stops, resting his hands on Tong Fan's hips carefully.
I'm sorry,
he says.
We can just do this instead.
He strokes Tong Fan's cock lightly. Tong Fan shakes his head. No, he says determined. As much as he feels as though he's leapt into the unknown, Suejo's desire is plain, and no part of Tong Fan wants to deny him. Besides, I want you. Tong Fan struggles to get out. The look on Suejo's face is so open it almost hurts Tong Fan to see it.
Sit up,
Suejo rasps.
I want to be able to kiss you.
Tong Fan levers himself further up, and Suejo shoves the piled furs helpfully between his back and the wall, so he's propped up and sprawling. Suejo follows him up, walking his knees forward until he's astride Tong Fan's hips. Tong Fan pets his thighs nervously. Then Suejo is grasping Tong Fan's cock and leaning in to kiss him at the same time. Tong Fan's eyes close with the intoxicating touch of Suejo's mouth, so he doesn't see it, just feels it as Suejo starts to lower himself into Tong Fan's lap. At the first kiss of his body at the tip of Tong Fan's cock, Tong Fan holds his breath. His hands are clutching now, gripping the handles of Suejo's hip bones desperately. Suejo arches up and straightens his back as he sinks down, staring into Tong Fan's eyes from under his lashes. Tong Fan couldn't breathe if he wanted to. Suejo's body is like a vice around his cock, like nothing Tong Fan has felt before. Heat prickles from the crown of his head and down the back of his neck, then flushes across his body, sweat springing up across his skin. He thrusts up involuntarily as Suejo comes to sit against his hip bones, and Suejo gasps, throwing his head back. Guang Chuan! Guang Chuan! Tong Fan begs breathlessly, overcome, lost. Suejo rocks his hips, making them both cry out, then hunches forward again. He cups Tong Fan's face in his hands, ducks forward to kiss him gently.
Shrunching,
he murmurs. Embarrassingly, Tong Fan thinks he might cry. The first meal Sui Jo had made them at home is a candle next to the bonfire of his body embracing Tang Fan so fully. Sui Jo strokes his cheek, kisses the shell of his ear.
I have wanted you.
He gasps as Tang Fan thrusts up again, his words choppy with it.
Wanted this for so long.
Tang Fan just grabs him and kisses him, smothering the words from Sui Jo's mouth. He buries his fingers in Sui Jo's damp hair, careful of the tender spot at the back of his head. Sui Jo leans back, tilting his head into the touch. Eyes closed, he starts moving his hips in a steady rhythm, lifting and dropping again into Tang Fan's lap, almost languid in his movement. Tang Fan stares, awed. Sui Jo's skin gleams with sweat, golden in the lantern light. Every muscle on his naked body seems tensed, his broad thighs flexing. His cock is so hard, thick veins like sculpted jade, the exposed head smearing moisture against his belly as he rolls his hips. Tang Fan reaches for it without even thinking, and Sui Jo gives a guttural moan, slamming down and clenching hard around Tang Fan's cock. Tang Fan is starting to doubt the veracity of the books he's read. Sui Jo does not look like he's being degraded. He looks like a god. Remembering the feel of Sui Jo slicking him up, he fumbles in the bedclothes for the pot of ointment, almost dropping it again, but finally managing to get a generous amount onto Sui Jo's cock. Sui Jo whimpers, the sound shocking through Tang Fan almost violently, and his movement goes from languid to intense as soon as Tang Fan starts to stroke him.
Runching,
Sui Jo gasps.
Runching.
His eyes are squeezed shut in pleasure, his chest heaving. He rides Tang Fan fiercely, the movement thrusting his cock through Tang Fan's fist even as he fucks himself down onto Tang Fan in the counterstroke. Tang Fan isn't going to last much longer. In fact, he's amazed that he lasted past the first sensation of Sui Jo clasping his body. I'm going to... Tang Fan blurts desperately. I'm sorry... Sui Jo's breath huffs out of him in a voiceless laugh. He opens his eyes to smile at Tang Fan, open-mouthed and euphoric, bruising Tang Fan's hips with the power of his downward thrusts.
Please, he pants. Runching.
One of his hands lands clumsily on Tang Fan's chest, fumbling for, then grasping one of his nipples. Tang Fan jerks his hips up violently and comes with a shout, his vision flashing white as his entire body arcs back into the bed and upward into Sui Jo. Sui Jo kisses him as his body goes limp, stroking his chest as tremors rack through him. His body is still tight around Tang Fan's cock, moving slickly, and Tang Fan whimpers, open-mouthed.
Runching,
Sui Jo whispers into his mouth.
Just a little more. Please, please.
He guides Tang Fan's hand to his cock, hard and straining, and Tang Fan drags himself back into the moment, to Sui Jo trembling above him. Tang Fan wraps his hand once more around Sui Jo's cock, sitting up a little to pull Sui Jo down and kiss him again, grasp firm on the back of his neck. He bends his knees up to plant his feet on the bed, trying to gain more stability. But the chain shifts something in the angle of Sui Jo's hips. He cries out harshly, tightening fiercely around Tang Fan's cock and grinding down. His cock throbs in Tang Fan's hand and he's coming, hot jets of it spilling onto Tang Fan's skin. He shudders and shudders, pushing Tang Fan's hand away after a moment. His back is curved forward, his hair spilling around his bowed head and onto Tang Fan's chest like the finest black silk. Tang Fan rubs his hands over the top of Sui Jo's thighs clumsily. To see Sui Jo lose control of himself, Tang Fan feels as though it perhaps should be disquieting, but instead he just feels victorious. Even though Sui Jo had been the one doing most of the work, it had been Tang Fan's body he was taking pleasure with. Sui Jo straightens slowly again, breathing hard. He grasps onto Tang Fan's hands, grips sweaty, and lifts himself slowly, They both gasp as their bodies separate, and Suejo dismounts carefully before slumping down onto the bed on his side, head next to Tangfan's hip. Tangfan wriggles down so they are on a level. He feels strangely unsure of whether he should touch Suejo now. Though when he reaches out to brush the hair out of Suejo's face so he can see him better, Suejo's mouth forms a blissful smile. He opens his eyes to stare into Tangfan's, a little unfocused. "Was that?" Tangfan starts hesitantly. "I mean, are you?" Suejo reaches out to stroke Tangfan's cheek, to rub the pad of his thumb over Tangfan's sensitive lips.
"That was perfect. You're perfect."
Tangfan sucks a sharp breath in through his nose. Everything he thought he knew about sex, which, as it turns out, was actually pitifully little, seems as though it was wrong. He feels a surge of gratitude towards Suejo for being so patient with him.
"You can try it if you like,"
Suejo suggests, the edges of his voice soft, as if rubbed smooth. His eyes slip closed again.
"Next time. Or I can use my mouth."
"Quang Chuan!" Tangfan hisses. It's hard to keep hold of his post-orgasm lassitude when his heart is being squeezed in his chest. Suejo opens his eyes again and reaches out to stroke Tangfan's hair. He gathers it carefully over Tangfan's shoulder, then rests his hand on the side of Tangfan's neck. The weight of it makes Tangfan feel strangely vulnerable.
"Only if you want to,"
Suejo says, as if he will accept whatever Tangfan deigns to offer him. They rest until the sweat cools on their skin, and the mess turns from arousing to uncomfortable. Suejo climbs off the bed and walks naked to the privacy screen. If it's anything like Tangfan's room, there's a small wash basin on a stand behind it, with fresh cloths provided every day. He listens to the sound of the water as Suejo cleans himself. And when Suejo emerges, again, he's still naked. His soft cock swings between his legs. And Tangfan wonders what it means that he still wants to touch and hold it when he's not aroused. Suejo is smirking when Tangfan lifts his eyes, and he hands Tangfan a damp cloth.
"It's cold. I'm sorry,"
he says, turning away to scoop their clothes off the floor. Tangfan grimaces as he wipes himself off, the coldness ushering away the sleepiness that was creeping in moments before. Suejo throws their robes to hang neatly over the privacy screen, then returns with their underclothes. He takes the cloth from Tangfan and tosses it with a splash into the basin before joining Tangfan in bed again. They dress hurriedly. Tangfan realizes, with mild amusement, that neither of them ever took their socks off. Suejo leans over to extinguish the lantern, then pulls the blankets over them, spreading the furs he'd shoved to the top of the bed atop them as well. They lie facing each other again, close and quiet in the dark. Tangfan reaches out to find Suejo's face. Suejo's eyelashes kiss against his fingertips. He's still awake then. "Did you mean it?" Tangfan asks in a whisper. "That you've..." He swallows the words down, throat tightening without his willing it to. "Wanted," he manages to get out. Every interaction he's ever had with Suejo is flicking through like pages of a book in Tangfan's mind. A whole enormous library of them.
"Yes,"
Suejo says simply. He offers no more explanation, and after a little while, his breath evens out into its sleeping tempo. Tangfan lies awake a little longer, unable to stop his eyes from straining to make out Suejo's features in the dark. "Tangdaga!" Tangfan hears distantly, his name plucking him lightly out of sleep. He's aware of being very warm, of another body pressed against his, of the weight of blankets above him, blissful comfort. "Suejdaga!" There's the sound of rapid knocking on a wooden panel, and then Dongar's voice, loud and clear. "I can't find... oh!" Tongfan's eyes fly open to see Sui Zhou squint next to him, then lift a hand to rub his eyes sleepily. Tongfan whips his head around to look back over his shoulder, suddenly very awake. Sorry, Deng Er cries. Sorry, sorry. She turns and runs out the door again, slamming it behind her. Sui Daga, Tang Daga, Wu Yin is here to see you, she shouts, and Tongfan hears the familiar sound of Wu Yin's chuckle come after it. Sui Zhou's soft laughter stirs Tongfan's hair. Tongfan drops his face back into the pillow and groans. He emerges into the guest receiving room with his head held high, wearing yesterday's robes. Deng Er is laying food out on the table, Wu Yin pulling a bowl towards himself eagerly. He raises his eyebrow when Tongfan appears, which Tongfan refuses to react to. A moment later, Sui Zhou steps out of his room as well, sitting down next to Deng Er, looking perfectly put together. Tongfan was inside him last night. He clears his throat sharply, making himself look away, and scoops up a spoon of congee. Did you find anything? He asks Wu Yin, mouth full. Wu Yin nods, his amused expression turning serious.
The woman belongs to the Dorbet tribe, he says.
Tongfan sits up, putting his spoon down.
Dwarla's tribe?
Wu Yin nods. Did you speak with them? Why haven't they rescued her? Wu Yin shakes his head, exhaling sharply.
When the chief was killed, they lacked leadership. A nephew stepped into his place, but he's still young. They rely heavily on the Dungar.
Well, what about them? Wu Yin meets Tongfan's frustrated gaze with one of his own.
They are Ashutamor's tribe. Do we have any allies in either tribe?
Sui Zhou interjects. Wu Yin looks to him.
There were some Dorbets who were willing to speak more openly with me, who knew Dwarla and Alassi. They shared our concerns.
Sui Zhou nods.
Do they know where he's keeping her? They made guesses. He has a number of camps north of here. There was one in particular more heavily guarded than the rest.
Sui Zhou meets Tongfan's eyes, and Tongfan sees his determination reflected back at him. How soon can we leave? Tongfan asks. Deng Er cries out in protest. You can't ride off again. Remember what happened last time? Tongfan grimaces guiltily. Wu Yin will come with us this time. It'll be much safer. Last time you were running an errand. This time you're sneaking into the enemy's camp. How can that be safer?
Deng Er, Sui Zhou says. Some things are worth the danger. This time we'll be better prepared.
Deng Er frowns furiously.
Can you take Jingge Gunyang with you?
Sui Zhou shakes his head.
We cannot. And Wangxia cannot know. You must not tell him, Deng Er.
Deng Er shoots up from the table, outraged.
What if something happens to you and we don't know where you are?
I will tell you where we are going, Deng Er, Tongfan soothes. If we are not back in 2 days, you will tell Wangxia where we've gone. She sits back down, expression still troubled.
Can you at least take Jin Daga with you?
Tongfan softens.
It's not a bad idea, he says to Sui Zhou, who nods.
You go and speak with him. Wu Yin will show Deng Er and I where we're going.
Sui Zhou stands to reach for the rolled-up map on the side table. Tongfan's cloak has been cleaned since their encounter with Ashutamor, but it still retains a well-used patina that Tongfan finds he likes more than the bleached bone white. Still, he knows it stands out amongst the browns and reds of the Oirats, the blacks and grays of the Ming soldiers. He finds Jin San lounging on the board of his carriage, one leg swinging idly and one knee up. He's picking at his fingernails with a short knife and doesn't seem at all surprised to see Tongfan approaching.
I was wondering when you'd bother to visit, Tong Xiong, he says. At least Wu Yin stops by for a drink occasionally.
Tang Fan apologizes, Jin Xiang. Tang Fan says, giving him a slight bow. Jin San's eyes narrow, and he leaps lightly from the carriage, standing in front of Tang Fan and crossing his arms.
What is it this time? Another job, I assume?
Tang Fan smiles wryly. We have a mission. We could use another set of hands, in case we come up against trouble.
A mission?
Jin San gapes.
Are we not in a military installation? Why are a magistrate and a baihu asking a civilian from the capital to go on a mission? Does Wang Chufu not have an army for that?
Tang Fan pouts.
Buyin is coming too.
Oh, forgive me. You are bringing the carriage builder along. Jin San apologizes.
The military can't help. Jin San's expression of skepticism increases so much that Tang Fan fears his eyes might pop right out of his head. Tang Fan sighs, then tilts his head towards the carriage. Jin San gestures exaggeratedly with his arms, signaling for him to go right ahead, and Tang Fan climbs aboard. Jin San follows, swishing the curtains shut dramatically behind him.
It's a rescue mission, Tang Fan murmurs lowly, leaning in close.
We believe there's a woman being held against her will by one of the men challenging the Oirat leadership. Jin San's expression turns serious, though it shudders a little, to Tang Fan's surprise.
She was sold to him then?
Tang Fan frowns. No, he wishes to marry her for political gain.
Oh, so she's actually being held against her will, and not simply decided for her that her will doesn't matter.
Jin San is flipping the knife restlessly between his fingers.
Jin Xiang.
Tang Fan frowns, confused and a little hurt at the sudden caustic tone.
I believe everyone's will matters, whether they are indentured or not.
Jin San scrutinizes him for long moments before sighing and tucking the knife into his belt.
You should ask Qinga.
We can't. She works for Wangxia now.
She would come anyway. She almost left when she heard you were missing a few days ago.
Tang Fan raises his eyebrows.
You've seen her?
Jin San suddenly becomes very interested in examining his fingernails again.
We've crossed paths once or twice.
Tang Fan files that information away for future use. He shakes his head. It's not safe for her. It could break her cover.
Jin San huffs an impatient sigh. Fine. When do we leave?
As soon as possible. We'll send word with Wu Yin and meet you on the north road out of town.
Jin San nods, expression grim, and kicks him out of the carriage. Tang Fan buys some street food while he's out, meat skewers that make his eyes water from the heat of the spice, and returns with a bunch of them gripped in his fist like a bouquet of flowers.
Where's Sui Zhou? Is the first thing he asks when he enters the guest quarters, to find Deng Er sitting alone at a table, book in front of her, and a plate of cakes at her elbow.
Deng Er doesn't even look up.
He's gone to get disguises. Wu Yin will come back to do your hair properly later.
Tang Fan holds out the skewers, wafting them slightly to get Deng Er's attention. Her eyes widen when she sees them, and she takes one in each hand.
Tang Daga.
Deng Er says thoughtfully as they sit side by side and eat. She tears off another mouthful with her teeth, like some kind of wild animal.
You should tell Wang Daga we don't need so many rooms. Maybe Wu Yin could move in with us here.
Tang Fan chokes, the spice hitting the back of his throat and burning. Deng Er pushes a bowl of water towards him with wide eyes.
Wu Yin doesn't want to stay here, Deng Er,
Tang Fan says calmly when he's regained the ability to breathe, pointedly ignoring her observation. Deng Er shrugs.
It just seems a waste is all. How are you finding Wangxia's library?
Tang Fan diverts the conversation desperately.
Not as good as Tang Daga's.
Tang Fan feels his cheeks heat up. Perhaps he hasn't changed the topic successfully enough.
He is sure his illustrated books are in a locked chest under his bed.
The volumes on his shelves back home, perfectly suitable for Dong-ar's eyes. But Wang Daga still comes to play Go every few days, which makes up for it. She beams. Sui Zhou returns, to Tong Fan's great relief, before they've finished the last of the skewers. He's carrying a large, cloth-wrapped bundle, and when he unties it and spreads it out on the table, Tong Fan finds it's full of clothing. Brown tunics, black trousers, leather trimming, and wild fur collars. It's far superior to the slap-together from the back of the wardrobe outfits Tong Fan has worn to blend in the iron market.
The fur vest we already have should do,
Sui Zhou says, looking over the hall. You had better not let Wang Daga see this, Dong-ar comments, rubbing a strip of fleece between her fingers curiously. Tong Fan grimaces in agreement. That evening, they strategize over the dinner table, and by the time dishes are ready to be cleared away, they have a plan to depart early the next morning. It will leave less time for Wangsha to suspect anything, and have them approaching Ashutamore's camp close to sundown, when the cover of darkness will increase their chances of remaining undetected. Before he leaves, Wu Yin twists braids expertly into their hair, weaving in strands of red and pale gray.
Wu Yin, they're so beautiful,
Dong-ar comments, watching avidly.
Wu Yin grunts. Any Oirot would see their own efforts were inadequate from a li away,
he grumbles. Dong-ar goes to bed once he's left, leaving behind her the echoes of the reminiscences she shared of Duarla braiding her hair.
Ah, Sui Zhou,
Tong Fan says hesitantly when they're alone, feeling the weight of the moment.
Let's sleep,
Sui Zhou suggests, smiling softly.
It's an early start tomorrow. Would you prefer to sleep alone?
Tong Fan smiles back, relieved by the ease at which Sui Zhou steers them through.
Can I share with you again?
Sui Zhou nods, then gets up to start putting out the lanterns. They're up before dawn and out on the north road waiting for Jin San and Wu Yin as the faint, watery tint of the first light is illuminating the snow. Tong Fan wraps the dark, fur-lined Oirat cloak around himself tightly as his horse stamps and huffs at the delay. Sui Zhou had kissed him awake. The memory of it melds with the nervous anticipation he feels at the mission ahead of them, fluttering in his belly.
Here,
Sui Zhou says, and Tong Fan blinks out of his thoughts. Sui Zhou has steered his horse alongside, facing him. He leans over to take Tong Fan's hand, then places something in it. A knife, the one he's used to seeing tucked into Sui Zhou's belt. Tong Fan looks up at him, surprised. I lost Duarla's, he finds himself saying, remembering the feeling of it wrenched out of his hand. Sui Zhou nods, expression somber, troubled. You want me to fight now? Tong Fan asks. Sui Zhou sighs, looks out to where the distant prairie is slowly emerging with the rising sun, before turning back to meet Tong Fan's eyes.
I want you to be safe.
What we're doing is not safe,
Tong Fan points out gently. The leather of the knife sheath is warm in his hand, the heat of being kept against Sui Zhou's body transferring to his cold fingers.
Doesn't stop me wanting,
Sui Zhou says gruffly, and nudges his horse to turn around again. It trots restlessly in a half circle around Tong Fan's horse before coming to a halt again. They both look behind them at the sound of hoofbeats approaching. Jin San has dressed for the part as well, Tong Fan notes, as he and Wu Yin reach them, reining their horses in. What? Jin San gripes as he sees Tong Fan looking.
I'll have you know that my ancestors were Oirats who came south with the Yuan Emperor.
Tong Fan bows a little, smiling. My apologies, Jin Xiang. I am not used to seeing your hair down. Jin San sniffs dismissively and turns away.
Wu Yin is skilled at the Oirat braiding style,
he says stiffly.
We shouldn't delay,
Suizhou says, and Wu Yin nods in agreement. Together, the four of them set off. The journey is a strange mix of monotony and tension. There are few other people Tang Fan would choose to ride into danger with, but the specter of a Shurtamore looms large ahead of him, and his mind feeds him scenario after scenario of Sui Zhou being struck down, Jin San stabbed, Wu Yin shot. The featureless prairie offers no distraction, especially as their route has been plotted to skirt around any settlements. Wu Yin navigates them with ease, though, and as the short winter day draws to a close, they see the smoke of a campsite rising into the air ahead of them, wisping up faintly to merge with the gray snow clouds. They linger some distance away until it's dark enough to cover their approach. The thin sickle of a crescent moon and the wash of stars enough to light their way as they dismount and walk the horses as silently as possible towards the encampment. Tang Fan stops short when they get close enough to see it's encircled by a high wooden wall. Its thick planks are too narrow to have a walkway along the top, but it is nonetheless brutally impassable, rising up at least two times as tall as he is. Jin San curses under his breath.
We were going to have to leave the horses outside the camp anyway,
Wu Yin rumbles softly.
Do you have rope?
Sui Zhou asks him. Wu Yin unhooks a coil of it from his saddle and hands it over. Tang Fan expects to see him fling it up over the top of the fence, but instead Sui Zhou takes a couple of paces, run up, and launches himself up through the air, landing lightly on the balls of his feet on the top of the narrow wall. Crouching low, Tang Fan always forgets the incredible martial skill Sui Zhou possesses until he sees it firsthand. He holds his breath, watching Sui Zhou's faint silhouette as he takes a moment to scan the environment on the opposite side of the fence. Then he swiftly loops and knots the rope firmly around one of the thick tree trunk posts before uncoiling down the wall in front of them.
Go,
Wu Yin urges, pushing Tang Fan forward. Aware that his lack of upper body strength is likely the very reason he's been chosen to go first, Tang Fan grips the rope with determination and gratefully steps into Wu Yin's closed hands. Wu Yin grunts softly as he heaves him upward, and Sui Zhou does the rest by hauling the rope. Tang Fan clutches at him as Sui Zhou helps him scramble up. Then Sui Zhou is saying,
Remember how Jin Sanya taught you to roll as you land?
And tipping Tang Fan unceremoniously over the other side. Tang Fan shoves down his alarm and tucks his head, bracing himself as he was taught, and rolling into the impact. He comes to his feet as quickly as possible, breathing hard, knife in hand. Looking up, he sees Sui Zhou peering down at him. A moment later, Jin San is dropping lightly to his feet beside Tang Fan, and Wu Yin with a little more impact, and last of all, Sui Zhou with the rope looped across his chest. Sui Zhou jerks his head, directing Tang Fan and Wu Yin in one direction, Jin San already casting his gaze into the shadows the opposite way. They all nod silently at each other, then start moving, creeping low and keeping to the dark, shadowed sides of the tents. Tang Fan's heart races as he follows Wu Yin, carrying Sui Zhou's knife low, its leather-wrapped hilt clammy in his grip. Wu Yin pauses to listen at each tent as they pass. Some are silent. In others, the incomprehensible murmurs of the Oirat tongue seep through the taut canvas. In addition to the wall, the encampment is strange because of how few people there seem to be. It has none of the bustle Tang Fan would expect of a paramilitary stronghold at this time of evening. They circle the shell of the wall, Tang Fan memorizing the layout as they go. And when they're within sight of the front gates, Tang Fan realizes that's where most of the camp's occupants must spend their time. The gate is protected by heavily armed men, even a pair of them standing atop the towers on either side of the gates, bows held ready in their hands. Tang Fan frowns, turns to Wu Yin to suggest turning back and going in the other direction, but Wu Yin reaches out to grasp his arm suddenly. Tongfeng closes his mouth and freezes, following Wuyin's gaze. There's movement at the mouth of one of the tents, and they have a clear view of it through the open space in front of the gate. Two heavily armed men step out, holding the tent flaps open for another pair. Then a smaller figure, much smaller, walks out stiffly behind them. The first pair drop the canvas and fall in behind, encircling the figure on all sides as they cross the open space. Tongfan's breath catches in his throat. He's vaguely aware that this is what they came for, but there's something about the figure's gait. The group is getting closer, moving towards the row of tents Tongfan and Wuyin are crouched behind. He loses sight of them for a brief moment as they pass behind one. And then, for a flash, he sees them as clear as day, illuminated by a flaring torch for an instant before they move out of sight, entering another tent. The ground has been wrenched out from under Tongfan's feet. His knuckles scrape through snow and into frozen earth as he tries to hold on.
Uh-huh,
he hears Wuyin say next to him. No voice at all to it, just a breath ripped painfully from his throat. Tongfan has the presence of mind to grab Wuyin's arm as he goes to launch himself in the direction they'd seen Dwarla. Dwarla disappear, yanking him back to the ground with surprising ease. Wuyin! Wuyin! Tongfan gasps. Don't! Not yet! Not on our own! We need the others! Wuyin wrenches out of Tongfan's grip, turning a glare on him that has Tongfan shrinking back.
Tongdaren, if you think I'm going to wait...
They're startled by a sudden shout and the metallic clash of swords meeting on the far side of the encampment. Already reeling as though he's been dealt a violent blow, Tongfan wobbles in place, turning towards the sound. Sui Zhou! He and Wuyin turn to face each other, and Tongfan sees the same desperation staring back at him.
I'm not leaving her,
Wuyin says gruffly, and Tongfan nods before he's finished talking. As much as his instinct is to run to Dwarla himself, he knows the consequences of Ashutamor finding him here will be dire. Don't. If we've been found out already, it's too late. We'll come back for you both. Wuyin nods sharply. There are more shouts and more armed men emerging from tents. Most of them make their way, not to the sounds of fighting, but towards the tent Dwarla's entered, surrounding it. Wuyin shoves Tongfan away, and Tongfan stumbles before scrabbling back along the route they'd just come. He looks over his shoulder, heart in his throat, and sees Wuyin rise and start to calmly walk towards the massing guards, throwing his bow to the ground as he goes, holding up his empty hands. Tongfan makes it back to their meeting spot at a breathless and stumbling run. Jin-san is already there, eyes wild, and a smear of blood over his eyebrow. Where's Wuyin? He hisses at Tongfan. Tongfan shakes his head, unable to speak, then sucks in a huge breath of relief when Sui Zhou runs out of the darkness, bloodied sword held in front of him. His eyes rake over Tongfan briefly. Then, without another word, he sees both Jin-san and Tongfan around their waists and is leaping up into the air again. He lands them atop the wall. Then, with barely a pause, they're descending through empty air to the ground on the other side, leaving Tongfan's stomach behind them. Sui Zhou lands them lightly, but Tongfan still stumbles. Sui Zhou unhooks the rope from his chest, immediately turning to go back. Tongfan grabs his arm, stopping him.
Wuyin,
Sui Zhou says roughly, and Tongfan shakes his head. Sui Zhou, he gasps. Dwarla, it's Dwarla! Sui Zhou staggers. His hand grips Tongfan's wrist where Tongfan is still holding on, fingers digging into flesh. His eyes are wide, shocked. Come on, Jin-san hisses, leaving untethered two of the horses. He thrusts the reins in their direction. Sui Zhou moves slowly at first, but shakes it off after a moment. Then he's seizing a set of reins from Jin-san and shoving them into Tongfan's hands.
Get on, he rasps at both of them, before moving swiftly to the last two horses.
Before he can take more than a step, there are shouts a lot closer than before, and the snap and whistle of an arrow let fly. A second later, a flash of flame passes Tang Fan far too closely. He ducks instinctively and hears the scream of a horse. Guang Chuan! Sui Zhou shouts something incomprehensible at him. It takes Tang Fan's rattled mind a moment to realize he's speaking Oirat. His arm is wrenched as his horse jerks its head up, though he manages to hold on. More flaming arrows are flying through the air towards them now, and Tang Fan desperately looks for Sui Zhou. A moment later, he finds himself practically thrown onto his horse, breath knocked out of him as he lands, and he scrabbles to hold onto the horse's neck as Sui Zhou leaps into the saddle behind him. Sui Zhou reaches around to grab the reins, shifting them to one hand as he secures Tang Fan with the other arm tight around his waist. Then he's shouting and kicking the horse's flanks violently. It whinnies and takes off without further urging, galloping after Jin San, where he's crouched low in the saddle ahead of them. Guang Chuan! Tang Fan gasps as they leave the encampment in the distance, shouts fading away. It was her! It was Dwarla! Sui Zhou's body is tense against him. As Tang Fan speaks her name, though, he feels a tremor run through him. Sui Zhou's arm around his waist tightens for a moment, then loosens. He reaches to hold the reins in both hands, his arms bracketing Tang Fan on either side. Hold on, he says gruffly. And Tang Fan does so, nodding his fingers into the horse's mane. Sui Zhou's body tense at his back.